express it. But James says to know what? The testing of your faith. What you really believe will be tested. And it's often in those tough times that the fluff of our lives, that the things that we have hung on to, we find are not really important. They just blow away like chaff in the wind. Some people will say, can I trust God when I can't see my way through it? But others will say, I will trust God even when I can't see my way through this. Because if joy is but a feeling, then I might find myself raging against Him when things get hard. How can you say you're a loving God? How can you allow this stuff to happen in my life? You've heard that said. You may have even said it yourself. He says, the testing of your faith works patience. It's not pop a pill. It's not crack a bottle or smoke a joint and somehow get me out of this fix, somehow make the pain go away. Patience recognizes that some things will resolve in your life. Others may take much longer, and there are some things that come against you that may never find resolve on this side of heaven. But the issue is not the trial. The issue is how do you approach the trials that come your way. One man has said, if difficulties are received in unbelief and grumbling, trials can produce bitterness and discouragement. But notice what he says in verse 4, but let patience. The word let means to allow something into your life, to do something in you that it was designed to do. What is patience designed to do? It's designed to have a mature work that you might be mature and complete. Now, some translations will use the word perfect, that you might have a perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete. It's the word teleos. It's the same word that can be used for perfect as well as for mature. And the word perfect can sometimes muddy the waters when we use it, as if it is somehow unattainable. When Jesus would say to us, you shall love the Lord your God, or you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And sometimes we will read that and we will say it's a rung on the ladder that I'm never going to reach because I can never love like God loves. But when you take that word perfect and you put in the word mature, it's about growing up. It carries more the idea of growing up, of becoming an adult in our faith, so that we do not respond to difficult times like children or like teenagers. The word complete simply means to be whole and not to be fractured in our lives, that there is a consistency between our spirit and between our soul and between our body. In verse 8, we see what a fractured life looks like. A man with divided loyalty, he says. It actually means to be two-souled. When life is rosy, the person is one way. But when life gets difficult, and it will get difficult at times, they respond in a totally different way. James says that person is unstable in all his or her ways. Unstable means that you never know what you're going to get from that person. They are rosy. They are this way when life is rosy. They are this way when life gets really tough. Now let's face it. There are situations that you and I face in our lives that we just do not know how to deal with. For each of us, these may be difficult, but nonetheless can still bring sleeplessness to our lives. So we're going through difficult moments or even seasons in our lives, and we simply don't know what to do. You've had those moments. I don't know what to do. Do we simply grit our teeth and hope for the best? And James would say to us, no, got to keep these verses in context. In difficult times, where do you find the answers for your life when you can't make sense of life? Verse 5, he says to us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him, let her ask from God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to that person. So when you're going through a tough time, and you don't know where to go or what to do, where do you turn? Where do you find your help in those moments? Now notice that James does not say to us, increase your knowledge on the subject. Though that's not necessarily a bad thing. But just because Google says it, doesn't make it right. In fact, too much Google can actually muddy the waters. Proverbs 4:7 says this, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Where do you find this wisdom? Ask God, and He will give to you the wisdom that you need. And notice that God is not stingy on giving wisdom. It says He will give liberally. Notice that God will not rebuke you for asking. He gives without reproach. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to move forward. You don't even know how to unpack the things that you're going through. Ask God, James says, and it will be given to you. But is there a way that we should be asking? James says, yes. Ask in faith, not doubting. But what does that mean? What does that mean to ask in faith and not doubting? Trust that you will be given insight into your situation and then move forward. Resist the urge to keep going back and forth. Let your mind be settled on a course of action. And if you need to make course corrections, then make it. You will spend more energy on trying to make up your mind than you will in just making it up and following through on what you believe God is leading you to do. James tells us that a mind that continually goes back and forth, a mind that doubts, is a word that he uses, is like the rough water of the seas, driven by the wind and tossed about. If you ask God for wisdom, and you just keep doing your own thing, there will come that place where God will not continue to give you wisdom. If you're not going to listen to Him in the first place. It's a tough lesson, isn't it? If you're not going to listen, then why would He continue to give you what you're not going to listen to anyway? Tough times comes to all of us, to one form or another. Jesus reminds us in John 16:33, in this world you will have trials and tribulations. It's not a matter of if, it is a matter, as James says to us, when. In this world you will have trials and tribulations. They are unavoidable and they are inescapable. All of us will experience it. Yet like with James who said, consider it all joy. Jesus says, but be of good cheer. And then he offers to you and to me two promises. In me you will have peace. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is that deep, settled peace within your soul that even though everything else is raging around you and you may not understand everything that is happening, it is a deep, settled peace within your soul. Jesus says, but be of good cheer. He will give us peace. He will bring us to a place of serenity and peace. He says, come unto me. Come unto me, even in the midst of your troubled waters. And the second promise he gives to us in that passage is, I have overcome the world. He has the last say on your life. He will utter the final Amen. You know, you can go it alone. You and I have tried that. How far did it get us? Or we can do it God's way. There is strength, there is wisdom, there is peace, there is patience for those who will embrace God's ways and allow Him to bring us to spiritual maturity. Don't know what to do? Don't know how to move forward? Ask God, and He will give you wisdom. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Pray with me. Yeah, Father, we know that there are times in our lives we'd like to escape some of the stuff that we go through. But it's not about escaping, Father. It is about leaning into You. It is about pressing into Your presence. It is about finding ourselves in You, Father. You have made some very clear promises to us. If we would but do this, we would have peace. Peace that passes all understanding. And You will bring us through. I am so thankful this morning, Jesus, that You have the final say in my life. And You have the final say in all of our lives. To You be the glory. To You be the honor. To You be the praise. We love You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You for loving us. In Your strong name we pray. And all God's people said.